Hi, the next 15 minutes is for you, our listener, as Fred Kuhn explores this issue.
Welcome, welcome. Today, we're going to talk about resumes for transitioning from the military. And our guest is Ariel Ludwig. Ariel is a secondary school counselor, but beyond that, and her master's in education, she has academic advising experience within higher education, career and vocational counseling, but most importantly, Army Continuing Education System as a transition specialist with the military, and she's an Army spouse of 13 years. Welcome, Ariel.
Hi, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So here's the first question. Is there a best or go-to resume format for a former service member to use or those that are getting out of the military? I know you got the 214, but beyond that, how you convert that?
So for formatting your resume, there are three industry standards of a chronological resume, which is the most common that you're going to see, which is highlighting your experience, most recent, and working backwards. Traditionally, you know, up to 10 to 15 years represented in a two-page resume. Then there is a functional option, which is probably not advisable and not necessary for service members either. A functional resume is a skills-based resume that may hide your gaps in employment, which you likely don't even have to worry about as a service member. And then there's a hybrid, which is skills-based, but you're still accurately and truthfully, you know, reflecting your employment dates. So I would say stick with either that chronological or that hybrid format. And before you start getting stressed about formatting, you want to really be determining what you need to include in your resume, because content is king over formatting.
Well, it has to be something beyond I'm a battalion commander or I fire missiles or, you know, I mean, how do you translate that sort of thing onto paper?
So you'll want to be researching the industry that you're trying to get into. Start reading internal or just industry standard materials that others in that field are referencing. Make sure you're reading the Harvard Business Review or the Wall Street Journal or journals that are related to what you want to get into. Like there's the Journal of Business and Financial Affairs, just to see what skills they're looking for, learn more about their language to make sure you can use that in your resume.
Resumes should be targeted, shouldn't they, Ariel? If you're going after a particular type of company or industry, shouldn't you target your keywords in the resume to that industry?
Definitely. Yeah, and it's not just about fitting them in, you know, somewhere. It's about making the cohesive story with your experience. And the employer is not going to be able to do that for you. They do not understand what you've done in the military. You really need to throw yourself into learning about that industry and their culture, and then taking yourself away from the military acronyms that you've, you know, grown to use, and start really working to translate your experience to make it relevant to the employers who are going to be reading your application materials.
You know, this sounds like a lot of work, but my experience with the men and women in the armed forces is they already know how to work hard. They already know how to be focused. And so it's the hardest work made easier by their background and training in focus and diligence. So that's really an important concept here, is this is not easy. They're not going to hire you just because you got bars on your shoulder or a lot of stripes on your arm. They're going to hire you because they think that you bring value. The question is, how do you express and tell them what that value is, right?
Exactly. And I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this. I thought these service members, they're already acclimated to going above and beyond. That's what they do every day in their job. And this is just yet another instance. You've got to go above and beyond.
Yes, when you look at the percentage of Americans who actually are in active service, who are trying to get out or retiring or deciding to leave, as a percentage of the U.S. population, it's tiny. So most people do not understand what it is you do.
They don't. I mean, the service members should understand that well, because a lot of times their spouse might not even understand what they do. So
that's true. That's true. So
take nothing for granted.
Let's move on here. What are the main concerns an employer would have regarding military members' time in service?
So I think that the primary one, besides all of the stereotypical ones they've already heard, like you're stuck in your ways, you can't acclimate, the most pressing thing that comes to play in your resume and when you're applying is that they just don't know how your experience is relevant. And you're not going to get that across when you're opening up your resume with saying an accomplished 22-plus year veteran of the military, that you know that there's an MOS or you know, a job in each military branch for every job under the sun.
Just like there is with, you know, with the Department of Labor, 44,000 jobs or something. Yeah.
Yes. So they don't know how your experience is relevant. It's up to you to tell them how your skills do carry over, how you managed personnel, how you brought measurable improvements to your organization, and they'll understand that even if the exact taskings aren't what they're working on, they'll see that rather than saying that you're results-oriented, you need to show those measurable results that you were a part of.
I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but I'm a company commander. I'm a battalion commander. I'm a chief master sergeant. I'm whatever. And I'm applying to a tractor manufacturing firm in Indiana. And how do you translate that? It's exactly what you were saying.
Yeah.
The organizational skills that you have, the behavioral management skills that you have, all of those things, the great people skills, you know, do you play well with others? Yeah. As a leader, you do. And so those are the things that the private sector are looking for. That how do you translate that? Requires thought, requires research, requires introspection and thinking. Am I right in that, Ariel?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It requires a degree of EQ, emotional quotient, you know, that you...
Now, stop plugging that.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yes. So, yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces that go into being a troop commander, a battalion commander. You're working with people at all different levels of the organization, stakeholders, you know, who are more senior to you, and then personnel that you're managing below you, and then maintenance of all kinds of equipment and things like that that are going to translate over into that type of job.
Yeah, I'd like to ask also, when a veteran is preparing their resume, what do they have to think about?
First, it's not a once and done process. A resume is a living document that is going to change, and especially for a transitioning service member who is likely developing their very first resume, it is going to change. I think industry standard is, or not, well, just for civilian professionals, you know, take a look at your resume every 6 months and make sure that you're updating it. Well, I think that service members are going to be looking at it a lot more frequently than that as they become acclimated with the civilian workforce, and then they see even better how to go back and resolve things in their resume that may not be reflecting their experience as well as it could. Done is better than perfect to begin with, and then just get started. Don't get overwhelmed with that process of getting something down on paper.
My process for writing, it takes months.
Yes.
I sit down with a concept, and the concept is, what is the product? If I'm a company captain or I'm a whatever I am, a battalion commander, 2-star right on down to 1 stripe, who am I? What is the product that I'm trying to, quote, sell, unquote, in the marketplace? And who's going to buy that product?
Yeah.
Why would they buy that product? Do I have those skills? To me, that's a process that just requires a lot of introspection and thinking, and then you start writing.
Yeah, and you just nailed it, and I missed saying it. So what do you need to keep in mind when you're preparing your resume is that this is not a document to summarize your entire experience. It is a document telling employers what they need to know about you. So you really are, you know, picking out piecemeal parts of your experience to include in the resume. On your sit reps or NCOERs, there are going to be references to your physical fitness scores. Those things aren't relevant to employers. You can cross off of having to translate over. But internal like military awards aren't going to be relevant. So you're not throwing the kitchen sink into your resume. That's why you're doing all this industry research to understand what do they need to know about you. So that's the second biggest thing. One is just get started. Two is try your best to understand what they need to know about you.
The other caveat to that, Ariel, I think is you're right. Don't dump your life history onto that page. It's the quantifiable, measurable value that you bring to a company. If you have improved company standards, that is your assignment standards, whatever those are, whatever your assignment is, if you've had percentage improvements, if you have done things that have accomplished, what are those accomplishments? Everything is quantifiable. And the company in the private sector is looking for P&L. Can you make a contribution to top or bottom line of my company? That's what they're evaluating. So if they see that you can apply those same skills from the military to their company, and they know that they're quantifiable and measurable, you have a much better shot, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And service members don't think of their experience at all in terms of, you know, those kind of bottom line budget things. But they did contribute to things like that when they increased troop retention. That's saving the company, the Army, money. When you had, you know, no equipment loss or damage during your exercises and things like that, that's all money saving.
Even if you didn't see the dime, if you were in charge of 6 airplanes or 17 tanks or what, that's an inventory that's valuable. And that is a quantifiable, measurable event in your career. So start thinking in terms, what you're saying is start thinking in terms of how do you measure that? And would that measurement be perceived as valuable to the private sector? Let's just continue on with this. So if we carry this forward, we know numbers are really important, right? But what else can members, service members do to make their resumes stand out?
So maybe the best way to make your resume stand out is to have it fit in. Regarding, you want it to read like any other civilian resume. I mean, granted, it's going to still be evident that you were part of the U.S. Navy or U.S. Air Force because that is going to be listed as your employer. But because of all of this background work that you've done to understand the language of your new industry, you're going to be able to translate your skills and experience in a way that it doesn't read like you've just spent 20 years in a little vacuum of military jargon. So yeah, the way to make it stand out is to make it fit in. They feel like you're one of them, other than, you know, that you may have been deployed or have this MOS or job that they wouldn't typically be familiar with, you've explained it in such a way that they feel comfortable acknowledging the similarities in your experience and what they need.
There's a lot of ways to go about this too, I think. One is don't just ask a friend of yours who retired for their resume.
Yeah.
Ask 10, because you're going to get a variety of what's on paper. Extract the best from all of them. And use those kinds of thoughts if you're really struggling with it. There's plenty of online help. In fact, at stuartcoopercoon.com, we have a resources page which has all sorts of help on it like that. But it's all over the web. You can find it everywhere. But ask. Don't be afraid to ask and have discussions with people. Interview people at companies. Even though you're not going to work there or you're not applying for a job there, tell them, I'm retiring. I would like to have a good resume. Could you provide me your resume so I can take a look at it? People will be happy to do that and help you out. Don't be bashful.
Yeah, and take advantage of the other mentoring resources like Veterati and the American Corporate Partners. Just getting linked up with someone who's been where you have been and they've made that successful transition into the civilian workforce will just help to speed along your confidence and your
transition. Not only do they understand, they'll help.
Yes.
And only a coward is afraid to ask for help. I don't know any members that are cowards, frankly. So ask for help. It's a good plan, a good policy, a good practice, and it will benefit you.
Yes. Well, you had mentioned, you know, asking 10 different people and you will get 10 different answers.
Yeah.
And that's the tough thing about resumes, that there's no one right way.
My mother would have a comment on your resume. It doesn't make it right, but if you collect 50 comments, you're bound to get three or four that are similar. And maybe there's some where there's smoke, there's fires.
Yeah. And when I teach my resume writing seminars, like I do here locally in Colorado Springs, I acknowledge that the students, you know, sitting there, that they may have heard a resume class taught by someone else at some other point in time. And then what I urge them to do, if they're hearing, you know, advice that maybe contradicts each other, I'm always happy to share my rationale with why I'm suggesting a particular, you know, course of action. And then they should be asking the other person for their rationale and then going with whatever feels right in their gut and whatever sits best with them. And if someone can't give you a rationale, then their advice is empty. It shouldn't even be considered if they don't know why they're suggesting what they're suggesting.
Arielle, also, I was thinking that test an alpha beta system on the resume. That is, if you write it one way and use these keywords for this type of company, send it to several other companies in a little differently formatted, see what comes back, see what your response rate is. Test it, because you test your equipment, you're going to test this. This is your product. Test your product. Acceptability in the marketplace. Same thing.
Yeah, definitely. I've had clients come to me finally seeking, you know, professional assistance. They've applied for 50 or 100 jobs with the exact same resume, and that's way too long to wait. If you apply to 5 jobs and you don't hear back, you might want to consider, is something going on with my resume? If you felt that it was tailored and that you were qualified for those positions, and you know, you did all the, took all the right steps in applying, then you should be getting calls.
If you're not, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Mm-hmm.
The truth doesn't lie.
Yeah.
You're not getting responses, then do something else. What is that? The definition of insanity? You keep doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome. So variety, change, all of that is really important in presenting products. Companies do this when they present products in the marketplace. They do alpha, beta testing. They do different varieties, brands. Why would we have a different car variety every year? It's that keep it in front, keep it new, keep it fresh. Folks, we have spent a wonderful session with Arielle Ludwig talking about military transition resumes. Arielle, I'll see you for another podcast, and thank you for being a guest today.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.